want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 for the message this morning. Daniel chapter 1. While you're turning, I need to make an announcement. Last weekend, we had our golf, church-wide golf outing scheduled, and the monsoon season did not end on time, and so we had to postpone the golf tournament, and it has been rescheduled for Saturday, June the 18th. Saturday, June the 18th, and it's going to be at the Links of Gettysburg, and there is a sign-up sheet out in out at the welcome desk. And so even if you were signed up to play last weekend, Jerry is asking that you re-sign so that we have an exact number of how many folks are coming. So we need to re-sign up, even if you had signed up before. And so if you could take care of that today sometime, we would appreciate it. All right, let's look at Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in the first verse, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Bible here says, in the year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. All right, so you remember all those instruments, all those bowls and candelabras and all the stuff that God explained to Moses in the law that he was to build. And then they used those for worship in the temple. And so these are the things that were stolen by Nebuchadnezzar. All the vessels that were used for the oil and for holding the bread and the candlesticks, everything was stolen by Nebuchadnezzar. And he took it back to Babylon, put it in the treasure house for his God. All right, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. So they changed their names. They changed them from Jewish names to Babylonian names. And it says in verse 7, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So all their names were changed, and they were given Babylonian names. All right, now look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. All right, let's pray together, and then I want you to keep your Bible open, and I want to speak to you this morning for about 4 hours. I could easily, but I'll let you go at noon, I promise. Your roast will not burn. You'll get out on time. But I want to speak to you this morning from this chapter and call the sermon this morning, Lessons from Daniel. Lessons from Daniel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless us this morning as we look at the life of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, these men who stood and were faithful, and they did not bend and bow down to the demands of an evil king. And Father, I pray that you will help us to glean from their lives this morning. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. And Father, I pray that we will leave here this morning excited about living for the Lord Jesus in these last days. Help us to hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts this morning. And may we leave rejoicing in your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a little song in our hymnal, and you need not turn to it. I'm not going to sing it, nor am I going to have you sing it, but I just want you to know it's there. And if you get a chance, you ought to read the words of this hymn. You know the chorus. You learned it in Sunday school. I learned it in Sunday school years ago when I was just a little boy. And the song is entitled, Dare to Be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Man, what a man of God Daniel was. You know, there are two men in the Bible whose stories are prominent, and God has nothing negative to say about these two men. Joseph is one of them, and Daniel is the other. God tells us all about Daniel's life, and yet there is not one negative thing that was stated in the Bible about Daniel. Now, that can't be said for everybody. That can't be said of Abraham or of Isaac or of Jacob. Certainly can't be said of Jacob. But it can be said of Joseph, and it can be said of Daniel. Our country needs some folks like Daniel today. I mean, here in Maryland and up the road in Pennsylvania and down the road in Virginia and out through the mountains in West Virginia and then on over into Ohio and right on out through the country, our country needs some folks like Daniel today. The reason why we need some Daniels today is because there is an all-out attack upon Christianity today. Like has never been seen in our nation's existence, there is an all-out attack upon Christianity today. In 2008, Obama said that he was going to transform America. And now, 7.5 years later, with a pen and a phone, that is exactly what he has done. Congress has not done this. It's been the White House that has transformed our nation. Congress has sat by on their hands, and they've done nothing to stop the transformation of America. Back in 2007 and 2008, just before election, many of us went across the country and used what platforms we had to try and warn folks not to vote this bunch of progressive liberals into office, but our warnings were ignored. And now we sit here today, 7.5 years later, and the truth is, we do not even recognize our country any longer. Today, we honor those who paid the ultimate price to ensure our right to be a free people. But we need to understand that an enemy within our own ranks has done more to destroy our country than any foreign threat has ever done. We are sitting here today being invaded by Islam and Islamists. They are coming into our country in numbers that nobody knows anything about. Islam has already invaded our nation. It now sits in the White House. It now has a head at the table of the CIA, and is in several other key seats in our government. Our nation's borders have been torn down and thrown wide open, and millions of people are pouring into our nation, and who knows where they go once they get here. Our economy is the worst that it has been since the Great Depression, while the mainstream media ignores that fact. And they are ignoring it. And the White House tells us that we're better off today economically than we have been in decades. Oh, we're $20 trillion plus dollars in debt. But they're telling us that we are better off today than we have been in decades. I guess if they keep saying it long enough, somebody's bound to believe it. We're a transformed country, folks. And that seems to have been the goal, just to transform the country. That seems to have been the goal. The policy designed to spread the wealth around, as Obama told Joe the plumber back in the summer before the election, the policy was going to make everybody better off. But it has done the exact opposite. And we're not better off. And what it has done is make the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's the new America. What's ironic is Hillary Clinton running around the last 2 years giving 25-minute speeches to businesses and corporations, and in the last 2 years, 25-minute speeches have netted her $21 million in her pocket. Isn't that ironic? She is campaigning and promising the people giving her this money that she is going to destroy their businesses and bring them down to earth to be like everybody else once she becomes president. So the very people that she has taken the money from, she is promising to get once she becomes president. Anybody understand that? It doesn't make a bit of sense, but yet it's happening. Not only do you have all this stuff going on, but Obama has emasculated the United States military in the last 7.5 years. And he continues with a pen and a phone to make a travesty out of the most powerful fighting force on the planet. Last week, he chose a woman who has never flown a plane to head the Air Force in the Pacific. And he has nominated her to be the first woman to lead the U.S. Northern Combat Command. Now, does that make any sense to anybody? But you see, equal opportunity. We all have to have the same opportunities. Ability, that doesn't enter into the equation. Experience, that does not matter. We have to spread the wealth around. But of course, if you openly try to witness to someone in the military today, you'll get nailed for that. This is against the rules in the new Obama transformed military. And the sad thing is, nobody is standing up to stop any of this in Congress. Nobody. Is there not one senator? Is there not one congressman who has the intestinal fortitude to stand up for America and dare to be a Daniel? Well, evidently, there isn't. And then there is our new transformed America with same-sex marriage and transgendered restrooms and legalized marijuana and Obamacare that doesn't work and nobody can afford, and the list just goes on and on and on and on of how our country is now a transformed country. I saw a thing yesterday that said, Kennedy gave us a man on the moon. Obama has given us men in the ladies' room. Now look at verse 8. The Bible here said that when Daniel and his compatriots got into Babylon and they saw a completely different world, that all of a sudden they had some decisions they had to make. And I want you to look at verse 8. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel made up his mind about some things. And I am wondering how many of us, when faced with some of these things the world now considers the new transformed America, the new normal, how many of us will dare to be a Daniel? Now, I want you to notice just a couple of three things out of this chapter. Some key thoughts, some lessons about Daniel and his friends. The first thing I want you to notice is this. When faced with life choices, Daniel made the right choice. Daniel made the right choice. He did not ask to be put in the situation that he found himself in. It just turned out to be his lot in life. You know, just like Joseph ended up in Egypt, he certainly did not choose to go to Egypt. He was forced to go to Egypt. And Daniel was forced to move to Babylon. It was not his decision to go. It was thrust upon him. But notice that once he got there, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Even though he found himself in Babylon, he was not about to do anything that would compromise his relationship with God. Now, I'm sure that Daniel would have never chosen to leave Israel if he had been given the choice. I'm sure he would have stayed there. If he had the choosing of his own career, he would never have walked into his parents and said, Mom, Dad, I've decided I'm leaving Jerusalem and I've decided to move to Babylon. That would never have been the choice that Daniel would have made. Yet that was the path that he was forced to take. And again, that same thing happened to Joseph when he cleared the cobwebs from his head and found that he had been sold into slavery, and he woke up one day in Egypt. Joseph would never have gone down to Egypt on his own. And folks, here we are now in our transformed America. This is certainly not what I would have chosen to happen in my country. You see, I happen to believe what the Bible says, and I think that the Bible is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. I don't believe marriage is between two men or that it is between two women. I believe that you ought to use the restroom based on what gender you were born, not what gender your sinful nature feels you are on any given day. But here we are living in Babylon. And we have a Nebuchadnezzar and his court of evil judges telling us what to do and how to think and how to preach and how to behave and how to perceive wickedness and sin. And in the midst of this evil philosophy that is pouring in around us, the question is, will you stand and obey God rather than obey men? But notice Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means he made up his mind about some things. And it also means that he had a choice. Oh, by the way, so do you. So do you. You going to choose to do right, or are you going to follow the king and his transformed society? You see, the choices, listen to me, folks, the choices you make in life will determine the person that you will become. The choices you make now determine the person you will become. If you choose the world and you choose sin over the Bible, if you choose the world over the Word of God, if you choose to adapt to the world's viewpoint, well, then mark it down. That choice is going to take you away from God and away from truth. Daniel and his friends did what was right, and God blessed them for doing what was right. And God will bless us today because we choose right and obey him and his word. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't let anybody force this world's philosophy upon you. Don't let anybody force it upon you. I've already taken my stand, and I'll take it again this morning. I will never perform or allow a same-sex marriage in the Church of the Open Door. Amen. I will not do it. Never will I accept this transgender perversion. And that's what it is, folks. Make no mistake about it. It is perversion. The question is, will you dare to be a Daniel? I'm not going to do it. All this political correctness that we have heard for the since Bill Clinton's days. Oh, listen, folks, you think all this is by accident? Oh, no, they've been working on this for decades now. And this political correctness, that started as a means of silencing you and silencing me from speaking out what is the truth. You see, it's not politically correct to say anything about same-sex marriage. Oh, you shouldn't talk about that. That offends people. That's political correctness. You know what they're saying? They're saying, don't speak the truth now. Don't speak the truth. Don't say what the Bible says. If you speak out against the transformation of the country, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You are a horrible person. You're a hate monger if you speak out against the sin that's going on today. But let me tell you something, folks. Sodomy was an abomination 4,000 years ago when God told Lot and to get his family and run because the fire was going to fall. And if it was an abomination then, it's an abomination today. You say, but Pastor, the world is changing. But that's the point, folks. Truth never changes. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, just like the author who gave us that truth. I know the world is changing. John said in his first epistle, he said that the world is passing away. What's that mean? Well, that means it's getting further and further and further away from God. It is passing away. The world with each day is getting worse and worse, further and further away from the truth. But the truth is just like the God who gave us the truth. Truth is the same regardless of the year. And so will you stand with the truth? Will you stand? Or will you go with Nebuchadnezzar? Which is it going to be? I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to stand. I think I'm just going to stand with the Lord. There's a second thing I want you to see. I want you to see that unusual gifts bring unusual perils. We read that right here in this fourth verse. I want you to think about this for a minute. I hope I can convey this sufficiently. Daniel and the others were taken back to Babylon for a reason. They were gifted men. They had something. I don't know what it was, but they had something. The rabbis told us in their writings that 10,000 choice young people were taken back to Babylon. And Daniel and his friends were in that group that were taken back. The reason was because, verse 4, they were unusually gifted in some area. Was it unusual intelligence that they possessed? I don't know. Were they geniuses? I don't know what the deal was. I cannot say for sure because the Bible does not tell us, but it does tell us that something distinguished them from the others, and they were selected for special tasks. And because of their gifts, they were faced with unusual perils. Folks, do not we learn in the New Testament that where much is given, much is required. And what is required among stewards is that a man be faithful. So here are these gifted young men, and their gifts brought them perils. And yet, understand this, folks, we would not have a book of Daniel in our Bibles, and we would not know the story of Daniel refusing to compromise and eat the king's grease, and we would not know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and we would not know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being protected by the Lord himself in the fiery furnace. We would not know any of this had it not been for the fact that these boys did the right thing and they stood up and were counted for God instead of just following what the rest of the world did. Thank God for their unusual gifts that brought them unusual perils, which brought them unusual protection. Now let me speak to our young people for just a minute. Teenager, young adult, listen to me. Do you realize the blessing that has been yours to grow up in your home with your parents that have loved you, that have instilled their values in you, and who have given you the opportunities that they have given to you? Do you understand the value of that? Every one of you has been blessed with special, unusual gifts. You have a Christian education, for the most part. You have had, in this church growing up, you've had the children's programs, and you've had the youth group, and you've had the teen choir, and you've had the bus ministry, and you've had the missions trips and the trips to the wilds in the summertime and the summer stomp and the soul winning training on Wednesday afternoons. And you've been privileged to sit in one of the greatest churches in America, if I must say so myself. So don't forget, where much is given, much is required. Now the question is, will you dare to be a Daniel? You see, you've been given some unusual gifts. The question is, will you dare to be a Daniel? The day will come when you will leave mom and dad and you're going to go off to college. The day will come for a lot of you girls, you will marry some bozo. You'll marry some bozo you meet in college, and you're going to move away from mom and dad, and you're going to move away from your church. The question is, will you stand upon the truth that has been instilled in you? Will you stand? Will you do what's right? Will you stand upon the truth that you got in your home under mom and dad's guidance? Will you stand upon the truth that you got in the Sunday school class and what you got from behind this pulpit and what you got across the hall in the youth group? I mean, when the king says, here, do this. Here, this is how you're supposed to think. Here, drink this. Here, smoke this. Here, eat this. Will you reach back into your character training, and will you say, no, I will not violate my heritage. I cannot do this sin against my God. Will you dare to be a Daniel and stand for the truth? And your stand may put you in peril, but understand that God will protect you just like he protected Daniel and his friends. And then the last thing I want you to notice, I want you to see that doing right is true witnessing. Doing right is true witnessing. I did not read it. I did not take the time to read it. I hope you'll read it when you get home. But starting in verse 9 and 10, after Daniel decided, after he made up his mind, he was going to do what was right and not eat the grease that the king set before him. Once he made up his mind, well, it was on. The battle was on. And I want you to notice that they didn't compromise. They did right. And by doing right, they were a great witness for God. Man, it spoke to everybody in Babylon. You go home and read it. Now, I want you to think about these boys. Don't you think that they were completely overwhelmed by the idolatry that they found themselves right in the middle of? Don't you think they were overwhelmed? And by the way, mom and dad weren't there to watch over them. Mr. Riceburg wasn't there. Pastor Josh wasn't there. I wasn't there. Oh, they were on their own. But they said, we're not compromising. And they just did what was right. Now, what was the issue here? Well, the king of Babylon fried up some bacon and some ham and some pork loin and some pork chops. And they set it before Daniel and his friends. And they looked down and they said, what's this? They said, that's pork. Daniel said, we can't eat that. Well, why not? Well, under the law of Moses, we're not permitted to eat pork. So what happened? Well, they refused to eat it. And they ate what they could. And what they could eat, look down at verse 12. Look at the middle of verse 12. Daniel said, we're going to have a little proving time here. And in verse 12, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. In other words, let's do a little 10-day study here. And you guys go eat your pork, and we're going to eat. Look at the last part of that verse. And let them give us pulse. You say, well, what in the world's pulse? All right, now, if you take your finger and you put it right here on your wrist, on the top side, you put your finger down there, you need to do it every now and then, just make sure you're still with us. All right? You will get a reading of your pulse. Okay? Now, what is that showing you? It is showing you your heart beat. All right? So, here they took the wheat, and they beat it. And when they beat it, it knocked the grain off. And they gathered the grain and they put it in a bowl, and pour a little milk on it, and eat cereal. That's pulse. If you're a cereal eater for breakfast, you're getting up every morning and getting a bowl of pulse. All right? And so they would beat the wheat and separate it from the husk. And so what came out was grain that could be eaten, and they called it pulse, that which is beaten. This issue of what to eat became the area where Daniel would choose to take his stand. You say, well, Pastor, why would Daniel do that? Listen, folks, it would have been easy for Daniel and his friends to just go with the flow here. But this conviction was not something they could overlook. You see, this conviction about eating pork was a conviction that was based on the Word of God. And a biblical conviction should never be violated. I don't care if Washington changes the law and says this is now right. If the Bible says it's wrong, who cares what Washington says about it? You see, you've got some decisions in the future you're going to have to make. And a Bible conviction should never be violated. I have preached to you before and taught you before. I have some things that I have a preference about. It is not necessarily based on a biblical conviction, but I prefer it be this way. Those are my preferences. But then there are some things that I have a biblical conviction about, and I'm not compromising on those things. And that's what Daniel and his friends were making their stand on. They were standing on biblical principles. And folks, we cannot compromise on biblical principles. And so now, here we are in America with a Nebuchadnezzar trying to force us to accept same-sex marriage. We have a Nebuchadnezzar trying to force us to accept transgender perversion. We have a Nebuchadnezzar that is trying to get us to support health abortion through our health care premiums and legalize drugs and you name it. And if anybody dares see the world through the prism of the unchanging scriptures, they're going to be demoralized and belittled and despised and rejected, and who knows what else is coming. You see, if schools don't conform to the transgender ideology, they will withhold federal funds from that school. You see how it works? There is no law. It's just push, 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 push. And as long as nobody pushes back, they just keep pushing until they get us where they want us. And folks, I'm here today to tell you. Now, you look, everybody look right here. What's the date? What's the day? The 29th? Is this May? We still May? May 29th, 2016. All right, here it is. I will never do a same-sex marriage. There will never be one in this church. There will not be any of these guys that sat on this platform who will ever do one. You cannot rent the great room to have your reception. You cannot use Baker to have your reception. It ain't happening. When you go to a bathroom around here, let me tell you something. If you're a man, you go into one marked men. If you're a man and we catch you in the ladies' room, we're going to beat the stuffing out of you in Christian love. Now, I'm telling you, don't do it. You will get hurt. It's May 29th, 2016. Now, I'm going to stand on this stuff, folks. But now, here's the deal. Will you dare to be a Daniel? You can't sit out here and go, yeah, preacher, climb the tree. There I go up the tree. All right, preacher, come on out the limb. And so I skinny out on the limb, and then you cut the tree down. No, you got to stand with me. Now, we're not putting up with this stuff. We are not compromising what thus saith the Lord. Grass is green. Sky's blue. A bear has hair. I mean, some things just are what they are. And we're not compromising to please Nebuchadnezzar. Will you dare to be a Daniel?